This is Critical Thinking Part 6, UFOs, UAPs, and Zero Point Energy. Now, everyone in the Sonic tribe who's listened to the Sonic Gravity podcast knows that so far the podcast is a series of 33 monologues, and for the most part, it's an expeditionary voyage where I journal my own contemporaneous observations of the universe, the changes in my hologram, so to speak. And if you haven't listened to Critical Thinking Part 4 and 5 yet, you need to go listen to those episodes before you listen to this one, or some of the things in this episode won't be decodable. I want to thank everybody who's joined me on this journey, because you are viewing the universe through my eyes, and things are changing. And the more I learn, the more pieces of information that I detect in the universe and assemble into the puzzle that is the bucket of the universe of information of the things that I know, the crazier things seem to become. Because I process information asymmetrically, non-linearly, and non-chronologically. I'm a compulsive intuitive, and I see patterns, and that's why when some astrophysicist named Andy tells me that UFOs don't exist, and they're just a smudge on the Navy's radar, sonar, infrared optics, automated FLIR targeting acquisition technology, and direct visual observation, it triggers my memory of Justice Stewart's discussion of hardcore pornography. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, again, you need to check out Critical Thinking Part 5, UFOs, UAPs, and the Nature of the Universe. Now, we ended up Critical Thinking Part 5 talking about the nature of the universe and how it might not be just a 3D universe changing through time. As a recap, here's why. Jacob D. Bekenstein figured out a complicated problem that couldn't be solved in a 3D universe moving through time, and it could only be solved using a 2D universe through time. And Stephen Hawking confirmed it. Gerard Tuft answered a question that Stephen Hawking proposed, and then Tuft and Leonard Susskind proved that the information you need to describe the physics of a 3D space through time could be encoded on a 2D holographic surface. And not just the arrangement of things in a 2D space, but the physics and properties of the way things interact in that 3D space can be encoded on that 2D holographic surface too. So it's kind of like instructions for your brain. And what that means is, when you think about our brain receives signals only. Our brains don't really interact with our environment directly. Our brains are locked in a dark chamber and receive signals from our nerves and the information that we detect from our body, specifically our sensory organs, our skin, nose, eyes, ears, and tongue, transmit signal information to our brain that is either chemical energy, which is taste and smell, or electrical energy we receive as light waves, sound waves, and physical impact. It's all just signals interpreted by our brains in the same way when we're running in a dream. We aren't really running, but our brain might think we are running. In the same way, when we're conscious, we think we're running, but it's possible. It's just like we're in a movie or a TV show, seeing ourselves running on a holographic screen, receiving signals from a hologram that make us perceive that we're running. But we might not actually be running either, just like we're not running in our dreams. We just think we are. So our sensory organs detect information in the environment and then transmit signals to our brains, and that's what we hear, see, feel, touch, and taste. We can definitely measure and recreate those kinds of signals, so we know that if we actually lived in a 2D hologram with interaction mechanics all encoded like touch and taste and all that, then we know our 2D reality on a hologram could feed our mind the signals we'd need to believe that we were in a 3D environment, and that is a fact. Now, I'm not trying to suggest that we're in some kind of simulation like the Matrix, but I am saying that it's not impossible, mathematically or physically. And just so we're all on the same sheet of music about Voorhees' quantum echo theory, which explains why some of the flying UFOs, saucers, Tic Tacs, crosses, wedges, pyramids, and hot dogs that we see zipping around in the sky, water, and space today could actually be happening, and many of them might be us flying our own spaceships around in the future. So like we said before, as critical thinkers, we're going to assume the Navy is right about the UFOs and confirming them, and we're going to accept the fact that UFOs are real because they are. Despite what Andy, the almost famous astrophysicist, says. So our binary, mutually exclusive critical thinking analysis begins with the thought that the UFOs we see must either be, number one, us flying around, or number two, not us flying around. Which means, yep, You guessed it, aliens. So some of the UFOs could be aliens, but when we see UFOs flying around our military testing areas all the time, it makes me think it's us testing our UFO vehicles in the future. And if it's us, there's only three kinds of us as it can be. It must be either us in the past, us in the present, and or us in the future. Now, I think we haven't got the physics in the past or the present to fly Tic Tacs like this, so I think it's us in the future. I think us in the present is out too, because the public scientific community is nowhere near the level 3 physics we'd need to shed an entire quantum field of Higgs boson particles to fly a Tic Tac. The only way it could be us right now is as a secret RAND or military industrial complex skunk works project or foreign project based on radical technology and materials perhaps discovered somewhere like Roswell or in some other crash site or something like that. But that would be a superhuman feat of security and secrecy, and to me that seems fairly unlikely. I've been trying to come up with holes though in the theory to disprove it, because if there's any variable or scenario that I can't account for in my theory, then the theory can't be correct. All of the puzzle pieces need to fit. So I've been subjecting my theory to review and scrutiny on Clubhouse, and there's been some pretty good challenges that I need to share and address here. Now, at some point somebody suggested they might be AI drones, but in my opinion they move way too fast and they stop and turn too fast for our current technology. We don't have the physics to move something and turn something like that. We don't have the propulsion systems for that. Now, if we could disassociate the Higgs field, then a manned or unmanned craft could hold up just as well. And AI is still an algorithm. AI hasn't achieved self-awareness yet. We haven't seen Skynet, which is something we definitely need to think about in a future episode. But right now we can only program AI to follow sort of a mapped process. And while it can do bunches of calculations to replicate decisions and analysis that we can make in an environment we can encode, to my knowledge, AI isn't far enough along yet to think creatively. And I don't think we've received any messages from the Tic Tacs that are flying around. So I don't know that we would be able to get a remote control signal to a drone like that either. If a drone implies receiving some kind of signal to move by telemetry or remote control, it's not clear that we can get a signal of information through that field that seems to surround the Tic Tac. We see some kind of force field bubble around the ships though, and it shows up perfectly in the Mexican Air Force footage, and a still of that footage is on the cover of this podcast episode, and you can see the dilation of light around the craft, like a force field. Some have suggested that it's space-time lensing, like you get when you see a light shine from behind a galaxy. So we're going to jump into a little discussion of space, time, gravity, and mass interaction. So this is kind of a good segue. So I'm not inclined to think it's a drone. I've also heard that maybe it's some kind of advanced technology that's been developed by the American military industrial complex or a foreign nation or some kind of corporate entity for its own ends. This could be possible, but there's a bunch of reasons I think why that's not likely. The scientific state of the art being advanced by the most brilliant physics minds of our time can't do or explain what's enabling those Tic Tacs to do all the crazy things they can do. And as far as I know, the only people on the planet who know exactly how and why these things are really working and how these Tic Tacs are flying is you and me. The world doesn't even know we know, but eventually we'll be nodding together when they catch up and we'll say to each other, "Don't you hate being right all the time?" And speaking of being right all the time, remember way back to Critical Thinking Part 2, the quantum physics of inductive reasoning, which I recorded in November 2020, and then in January, Politics Part 2, Vaccine Stupid, and then back in early April, Wellness Part 4, rounding the corner into the event horizon. Those were all episodes that talked about COVID. And now we have, after rampant ongoing infections in India and Brazil, and the P1 and the Delta variant evolutions of COVID, mutations that are 70% resistant to one shot of the Pfizer vaccine, and they won't even tell us how resistant it is to Johnson & Johnson's one-shot vaccine. I'm guessing COVID eats the J&J vaccine for breakfast, or they'd be pushing J&J and talking about it like it's a good news story instead of radio silence. COVID is getting more lethal, it's affecting children in greater numbers, and by the way, schools are all open now, so events are unfolding exactly as we predicted. So yeah, don't you hate being right all the time? Let's hope we realize that poor countries in the world who don't have vaccines need to get them soon so the virus mutations will slow before a new mutation evolves that's 100% resistant to all of our antivirals, because it's halfway through our antiviral force field, so to speak, and if it punches all the way through, and if it defeats the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines, it's gonna punch through just like the cold air downdraft punching through an inverted layer of warm, wet, high-pressure air, which is the true cause of tornado genesis, like we discussed in Critical Thinking Part 3, Tornado Wormhole Theory and the Voorhees Effect. A virus that's 100% resistant to our RNA antivirals is gonna pancake our COVID fatigue country like an Oklahoma trailer park, and that is a fact. So masks, distance, trying to stay in as much as you can tolerate, vaccinating, and then we need to ship vaccines as much as we can, and Pfizer and Moderna, please get to work on the Delta variant vaccine. I would really like that one. At least until, spoiler alert, Critical Thinking Part 7, UFOs, UAPs, and the Key to Immortality. At least until we can achieve quantum time dilation. All right, now where were we? Oh yeah, the Tic Tacs are either us or they're not us. The ones that aren't us must be aliens by definition. The ones that are us aren't us from the past, and they're not us from the present, because the scientific community and the world's most brilliant scientists in the world haven't achieved enough physics experience points to unlock physics level 3 powers yet, and it's probably not a secret RAND or military industrial complex skunk works project or foreign project based on radical technology and materials perhaps discovered somewhere like Roswell or a different crashed alien craft or something like that. It would be a superhuman feat of security and secrecy to pull that off. And to me, that seems very unlikely that we found a spaceship and copied the technology, playing with something we don't fully understand, like you and your friends playing with the loaded gun in daddy's drawer. But even though I concede it's a possibility, that seems super unlikely to me too, given that we've been seeing so many UFOs for maybe 70 years now, and we're seeing so many different kinds of UFOs, and with such frequency that there can't be that many different secret projects going on all at once under the nose and behind the backs of our most brilliant scientists. All those different spacecraft projects going on right under the scientific community's nose just doesn't seem possible, because the public scientific community is nowhere near the level 3 physics we'd need to shed an entire quantum field of Higgs boson particles to fly a Tic Tac. I think there's just no way to get around the conclusion that many of those spacecraft are just quantum echoes of our future quantum travel, just like we talked about before. So to recap, the Voorhees quantum echo theory comes from the fact that we know from our scientific experimentation with particle accelerators in the collider at CERN, we've seen quantum particles pop into existence immediately before the collider smashes two particles together. And when that happens, there is a particle that is detected that appears right before the collision happens in the place that the collision happens. That particle is called the Higgs singlet. And when those atoms smash, the Higgs singlet travels in the fifth dimension, outside of time, and it essentially can move back in time to the point before the collision. So to us, as we're watching for the collision, it appears right before we see the collision, the Higgs singlet appears all by itself, which means that as we're waiting for the collision to happen in the future collision sends the Higgs singlet back to the past, so we see the Higgs singlet appear right before the collision. And if you've listened to Critical Thinking Part 4 and 5, then you also know that scientists think the Higgs singlet is the particle that tells the universe that our matter has mass, which essentially means that's the particle that gives us weight. So if we can come up with the technology, and I think for all the reasons that I talked about in Critical Thinking's Part 4 and 5, we have in the future, since we see these Tic Tacs zip around like they have no mass in our present, in the future, we've already figured out how to peel our Higgs field off of us and our Tic Tac. And that will let us fly our Tic Tac back and forth and zip around like we have no mass. But like the particle in the collider, the act of releasing that Higgs boson particle field throws a quantum echo into the past, all of our Higgs boson particles, just like the particle collider throws the Higgs singlet into the past when it smashes an atom. And I think those Higgs singlet particles get cast into the past, and that's what we're seeing when we see the shaky, fast-moving spaceships zipping around in front of us on the news. How far in the past do those quantum echoes go? Hard to say. Maybe it has to do with the number of Higgs particles, or maybe it has to do with the strength of the force field, so to speak, that we need to generate to disassociate the Higgs field. And I discovered one more kind of asymmetric data point that seems to corroborate the likelihood of the Voorhees quantum echo theory as the cause of the UFO appearances in our skies. Another data point is in the Podesta emails. Among the 30,000 emails spilled out of Hillary Clinton's private email server in 2016 that contained a record of a communication between John Podesta, Tom DeLonge, and Dr. Edgar Mitchell, the fifth astronaut to walk on the moon, who was described in those emails as researching the application of the quantum hologram as well as zero-point energy, the most powerful, cleanest, cheapest, safest, most ubiquitous form of energy for the planet. Mitchell suggests a well-informed public would be better prepared for the next step of space travel and research. It says the well-informed public would be better prepared for the next step of research. And I think when he talks about the public needing to get prepared, he's talking about the public being ready to see a quantum hologram that the research and testing would create, according to the Voorhees quantum echo theory. And I've had about a week to learn a little more, and I've changed my mind from something that I said in the last episode. Now I think that when we generate a force field that essentially blocks out the Higgs field, thereby disassociating all the Higgs boson singlets in our atoms, all by itself, I think that field of disassociated Higgs boson particles is enough to create all the zero-point energy that we'd need to fly at ludicrous speed, because we've peeled away these Higgs boson particles, and I think that's a vacuum of mass that the universe will want very much to fill. And we know from Critical Thinking Part 4, UAPs, UFOs, and quantum field theory, that if we can get the universe to want to fill a void, in this case, put mass into a spot where there isn't any, like inside our Higgs boson displacing force field, then we can get the universe to push on our ship and push it around really fast. And as I was putting together my thoughts for this episode, I looked again at the Mexican Air Force footage of a flying Tic Tac that seemed to have a space-time dilation, a distorted light halo around the ship. And we'll talk about what causes that in just a minute, but look closely at the picture of the Tic Tac on the cover of this podcast. What do you see? Do you see the asymmetric data point that could fit into our inductive analysis here and reveal the mechanism for zero-point energy? See, the trouble with zero-point energy is that if you have a field around something that creates a vacuum, zero-point energy, the weak nuclear force, is going to try to push things in to fill that vacuum. And the trouble is that it pushes in from all sides. So even though zero-point energy can push in, if it pushes in all around all directions, it just cancels itself out, which keeps you right in the same spot. But take a close look at the picture on the front of that podcast. At certain times in that footage, the field doesn't seem to encapsulate the whole ship. Look at that picture. It doesn't look like the field is all around the ship, does it? Do you see? So if the force field, so to speak, that we generate creates a Higgs vacuum around the ship, making zero-point energy want to push something into that vacuum space the ship occupies, but the only part of the ship that's exposed is the back of the ship, then maybe the field keeps the zero-point energy off the ship on all the other sides except the back. And if that's the case, maybe that's how the ship is manipulating that field to give it thrust. Because if the field only exposes the back of the ship, then the zero-point energy might only be able to push on the back of the ship, which would give the ship a push forward, right? Because if we manipulate the boundary of the force field and only give the universe the opportunity to push on the back of the ship, then maybe we're manipulating the zero-point energy to drive us forward. But as I was finishing my thoughts on this episode, I started thinking about Einstein's theory of relativity, and then my vision for the next Sonic Gravity episode appeared before me. I started to think about the curvature of time and the origin of gravity, and then I realized that if we believe in ghosts, we may hold the key to immortality. And that is a fact.